And so we hear from the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Today we do not have children's worship, but it will be back with us next week. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious and holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. When Michael and I were getting ready to welcome our son, we did a lot of cleaning. We were going through tubs of things that we had collected and simply placed in the attic. A tub of old memories, pictures and cards and so much more. And then I came across a hand drawing of scissors cutting a knot in a rope, with one word written below, freedom. The drawing instantly took me back, as memories often do, to Curie Beach, where I gathered with my previous congregation each summer. The hand drawing had been given to me by a young woman named Laura, and when she gave it to me, she said, "This is what I want to remember. This is what I want to believe." The night before she handed me that drawing, we were huddled in a large meeting room and talked about being tangled. Tangled in expectations, tangled in fears, tangled in sin. I was leading the session up front, and by the end of the session, my hands had been wrapped up by a rope, my legs tied together, my body barely able to move, making an illustration to those gathered. Now, if you know me, you know I talk with my hands, and so barely words were coming out because I couldn't seem to move. And yet, as I looked across the room, I realized that these teenagers, they weren't just seeing me tangled. They were seeing themselves, because they knew even at that young age what it meant to be tangled and tied. They knew what it meant to be enslaved, not by another human, but by human expectations, by a desire to be perfect, by fear. And so as a group, recognizing our tied up self, our knotted souls, we began to search for what would set us free. One of the students said, "Scissors, of course." Yes, practically. But where would they be? The group began to search the room. And a few moments later, they found themselves around the baptismal font, with scissors placed in the water. Around the baptismal font, the place that whispers into the depths of their heart, "You are enough." And the rope was cut. The place that reminded them, "You are forgiven," and another knot was untangled. The place, the baptismal font, that shouts to fear, "God is here and my love cast out all fear." And the shackles began to fall. I know. It's a weekend of celebration, right? It's a weekend in which we're talking about freedom and liberty, and it seems like a weird, unusual, out of place to start a sermon on such a weekend being tangled. I mean, we gather and proclaim we are the land of the free, the home of the free. Surely we can't be bound, right? We're Americans, are we not? And yet what's so fascinating is that our gospel, written centuries before, tackles a very similar question. The Jews who had come to believe in Jesus have a conversation. They say to this Jesus, "We're not enslaved. So yes, we're following your teachings, but we don't know if we need your freedom. Besides, we are Abraham's descendants. How can we be enslaved?" It's as if they say to Jesus, "I'm good. I mean, I understand your teaching, but I'm good on the freedom part. I'm Abraham's." It's as if we might say, "Jesus, I understand your teaching, but I'm good on the freedom part. Don't you know what country I'm a part of?" And Jesus looks at these followers and he says to them, and by extension to us, what you need to remember today is not that you are free, but that you've been set free. What you need to remember today is that we all, wherever we are born, whatever country, nation, family we have been brought into, are enslaved because we're sinners. And in this moment, Jesus looks at these believers and he says to them, We're called to do more than merely be free, but to live free. How quickly we who live in a free country, able to elect our own government with a free market, with celebrations of freedom itself, how quickly we can allow ourselves to be enslaved. We're free, but really many of us are living not in freedom, but knotted and tangled and shackled to our selfishness. How quickly we say things like, "I wonder what they'll think," or "What if I'm judged?" or "I worry I won't be good enough." With each statement, we again are being enslaved to fear. Fear of what others think. Fear of not being enough. Fear of failing. Fear that ties us back in knots. You see, we're so used to walking in slavery that for many of us, we can scarcely imagine a different way. And so we say to Jesus, as the disciples said, "We're good," and continue off in our knots and our mess. You've probably heard the story of the Israelites. The Israelites who were enslaved in Egypt, who are making bricks, who bore the pain of Egypt on their very back, and yet Moses leads them out to their freedom, and they journey to the promised land. And you know the story. It took 40 years. Commentators are in a little bit of disagreement on how long it would really take, anywhere from 11 days to 6 weeks, but that's not 40 years, right? And people like to joke that they didn't ask for directions. And no offense, but they were led by men, so they may not have asked for directions along the way. But I think there's a different reason. You see, I think Jesus or God had them wandering in the desert for 40 years because it took them that long to undo the knots and the tangle of slavery, for them to realize that they could walk in freedom. I mean, the Israelites, they're just a few days into it, and they look at Moses and grumble and say, "Can we just go back? I mean, I know you're taking us to the promised land, but gosh, at least I knew that life." How quickly do we choose the comfort of what we've known over the risk of what's unknown? The Israelites are walking on this desert journey, and God is literally raining manna from heaven to them. And they're sitting around thinking, "Didn't we have better food in Egypt? Weren't things better back then? And Moses is looking at them saying, you are free, now live free. It's not merely enough to be free, but we are called to live free. So for those 40 years, God is teaching them how to trust freedom instead of slavery, to trust God instead of their own selfish nature. But living free is hard because it's anchored in the truth. And as we know, with the advent of fake news, even truth feels like a fleeting commodity these days. And yet Jesus clearly says, the truth will set you free. Jesus, in the Gospel of John, uses that word truth 25 times in his Gospel. Jesus says to these disciples to trust and believe the truth. John, the author of this Gospel, uses that verb to trust or believe 100 times in this Gospel. John is trying to say to his disciples that freedom isn't just a head game, but it's a heart change. Freedom is a lifestyle in which we put our trust in something other than ourselves, and we believe in the freedom of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who says to us, the truth will set you free. And it's not like the freedom that we see above the Salisbury Post, right? That has engraved, the truth will set you free. Jesus isn't talking about the truth of just a circumstance. You see, Jesus is talking here about the truth of our human condition, because it's when we're truthful about our human condition that we can say we are free. It's so easy in our world, with the snap of a cell phone, with a post on social media, to not be truthful, to give a filter to our lives that makes it seem like we're perfect and we've got it all together. I was joking with the earlier service that if I post something today that says we're perfect and we've got our life together, you can feel free to call me out as a sinner. Because this morning, Michael and I were awoken to Moses, who woke up like 19 times last night. Moses spitting up on us, and then Moses peeing on us, and then Moses, my son is 5 months old, so it's not that weird. But my 5-month-old son, just our family was chaotic this morning, was it not, Michael? And I literally at one point was trying to help and got out of the shower quickly and fell on the ground, and I thought, there is nothing here that I can post and say my life is good. There is nothing here that I can post that will make people think that everything is easy and perfect unless I'm lying or being untruthful. And the reality is that Jesus says the truth has set us free. And here's what he means. The truth, well, the first part of the truth is you cannot free yourself. As one commentator reminded me this week, we are told that if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Apparently, we're not able to liberate ourselves. No matter how hard we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, that is still not freedom. The text clearly claims that we need a liberator. What's more, the truth is that we are sinners. I know, it's a downer on a celebration weekend. You're thinking, Danielle, we've got to have something more like cheery and joyful or fireworks, but the truth is we're enslaved every single day. Every day we wake up needing our Savior, our Liberator, and our Jesus. One commentator I read said, far too often we convince ourselves that nothing is really wrong with us. All we need is some good advice and a self-help manual or two, and things will be fine. We stubbornly persist in the idea that we are fundamentally in control. Surely our church-going and our charitable giving and our general all-around respectability is sufficient. And then we hear the scripture. If we say we have no sin, We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We are sinners. But here's the other part of that truth, that Jesus sees our sinful state, our tangles, our lives, our knotted hearts, and has compassion on us. On the cross, Jesus takes our tangled, sinful mess and redeems it. The truth is that we are not bound by this world, but we are set free to not merely free, but to live as free children of God. I've shared this before, but every sermon I preach about freedom, I return to this example. During the time of slavery in our country, the good news was still being shared, and slaves were hearing it and desiring to be baptized. But their masters, in their sinfulness and in their hatred, they became anxious. One church body passed what was known as the half-baptism law. It said that a slave could be considered a child of God, but they would only have freedom in heaven and not here on earth. Because these masters, they knew that if Jesus were to set this person fully free, that they no longer could be enslaved. And it would mean that their lives would be different. And so they short-circuited the gospel. They wrapped it in shackles. And Jesus never intended for the gospel to be shackled. He always intends for the gospel, the good news of freedom, to be cutting our strings, to loosen our knots, to provide freedom to our tangled spaces. And so here's the other truth of the morning, is that we are free. Not just because of a soldier's sacrifice, although we know in this country that it is true and we are thankful. But we are free because the Savior of the world says to our fear, banish, says to our darkness, be cast out, says to our chains, be broken. You see, Jesus did not die for our American freedom. Jesus died for the freedom of the entire world so that we may be set free, not just in our physical selves, but in our spirits and our souls and our very life. So I don't know where you are today. Maybe you're thinking, I'm good. I'm free. I live in America. I don't need a savior. Or maybe today you're thinking, knots, tangle, mess. Gosh, I know that. And I've been walking in that bound up position far too long. Maybe today you're aching for freedom, but you are trying to loosen the knots yourself. To each of you, Jesus has come, and I will set you free. Maybe your hands have been freed and you're wondering, for what? And the beauty of the gospel is you're not only free, but you're free for a purpose. You're free for the purpose of risking love. You're free to stand up for and alongside the marginalized. Free to use your hands, not to simply hoard, but to give. You see, people of God, this day, we're not merely free. We're called to live free. To live a life of freedom. And here's what I think that might mean. I think that might mean starting every morning recognizing that even when we awake, we're in knots. Not beginning our day by saying, Jesus, I got this. I don't really need you today. I'm good. But instead saying to our Savior, I am once again bound, free. Me. Maybe today we begin, or maybe we live in freedom by beginning each day, as Luther said, splashing water on our face, reminding us that we are baptized children of God, reminding us that God has scissors that are cutting those ropes and those knots and those tangles. and setting us free. Or maybe, just maybe, to live free looks a little bit like being the Washington Monument. Now, I know that sounds weird, but hear me. Every day, when the sun rises over Washington, D.C., the sun's first rays fall on the eastern side of the city's tallest structure, the 555-foot Washington Monument. The first part of that monument to reflect the rising sun is the eastern side of its aluminum capstone, where these words are inscribed in Latin: "Praise be to God." Maybe, just maybe, to live a life of freedom is to begin each day not saying, "God, I got this," but opening ourselves up to the reflection of the sun. So much so that what the world sees and what the world hears is a community of believers saying, "Praise be to our God. Praise be to our God."